Blog Talk Radio. around and I pray, teach the children to pray. Sometimes I lay flat on my back and I pray, and I pray. Well, and I ask for wisdom, teach my mother to pray. I pray and I pray, I pray that your will be done.
Well,
that your will be
done. He needs to learn to pray.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Abba Yah, in the name of thy son, Yahushua HaMashiach, our Savior, our Redeemer, our soon coming King. I ask, Abba, that you forgive me for all my sins that I've committed knowingly and unknowingly. I ask, Abba, that you hear my prayer. Abba, first and foremost, thank you for the gift of life. Thank you for allowing me to see another day, allowing us, all who are in the land of the living, to see another day, more importantly, another Shabbat. Abba, thank you for your mercy, for your chastisement, for your correction. Thank you for correcting us and getting us back on your path, Father. Thank you for your fairness and your right rulings, your judgments, Abba. Abba, thank you for protecting us, leading, guiding us throughout the week. Thank you for giving us the strength to overcome any obstacles that might have come our way during the week, Father. Thank you for giving us wisdom to deal with those problems that come for us. The wisdom to deal with our adversary, our enemy. Thank you for healing us, Abba, mentally, physically, spiritually, emotionally. Thank you for keeping your hand upon us, Abba, giving us exactly what we need in the time that we need. Abba, we thank you for opening up your word to us, Abba. We thank you for protecting our children and protecting Israel and protecting those whom you have called and those who you haven't called all throughout the week, Abba. Let all that have breath praise Yah. Abba, we ask that you continue to open up your word to us, continue to lead us and guide us through your word, continue to uplift our knowledge little by little and bring us closer to you. Thank you. We praise you. We adore you, Abba. And we just ask that we continue to do what is right in your eyes and what is pleasing unto you. In Yahushua's name, we give you praise, glory, and honor. Blessed are you, Yahushua, our mighty one, King of the universe, who has chosen good prophets and was pleased with their words that were uttered with truth. Blessed are you, Yahushua, who chooses the Torah, Moshe his servant, Israel his nation, and the prophets of truth and righteousness. Amen. Shabbat Shalom, family. This is your brother, Dave Well. And magnify the Torah, make it honorable. I hope you had a great week. And if you didn't, it's the Shabbat. Lay your burdens down. Just lay them down. Today's lesson is called Tilling the Ground. Till the Ground. And it's about the timing of Abba and him preparing your mind, purpose. You know, and that's a very important thing. You know, a lot of times we want things, but we're not prepared for them. You know, before you go into any battle, preparation is a key. Preparation and planning are keys, you know, to winning any battle, to fulfill any purpose. You know, you have some people who do the thing with the peas, you know, proper preparation prevents failure or something like that. They do the little pee thing. But they're right. You know, people who have to, you have to plan things. You have to pad for tasks, you know. You have to be trained. Or what the Bible says, a disciple or disciplined, you know, initiated. All that has something to do with your training. But in order for you to be trained, you have to have the proper mindset, okay? If you go in with a defeated attitude, do not be surprised when you are defeated. Because you started off in that state. You didn't think you could do it, so it won't happen. Now, I'm not saying don't be realistic in the thing. I'm not just going to sprout wings and start flying. That's not going to happen. All right? Some things you have to be realistic about. All right? But the things that you want to do, you have to be prepared for. And Abba has to prepare you for things. So, we're going to Todah Aki. Proper preparation produces proper performance. Todah. See, I knew it was another nerd on the line. Love you, Ak. But we're going to start in the book of Matthew, and it's all going to be, for the most part, something else that we looked at, something that we looked at before. Matthew chapter 13, something we're very familiar with. We're going to start off with verses 3 through 9, and another thing that we want to look at now, something that Abba showed me, is progression. Because if you look at how Yahushua laid out this this parable, right? Pay attention to the progression, all right? Pay attention to the order that he says these parables are, right? And understand that the keys, and he's going to mention this. This is something that we've read before, something we're very familiar with, okay? The keys were giving to his disciples. Wasn't for everybody. Certain people he spoke to plainly, his disciples, those who were worthy, he spoke to quite plainly. While to the rest, without the keys, they got the parables. All right. So we're going to start Matthew 13, starting at verse 3. I'm trying to send out a website also. All right. Let's see if I can send this out. Ahabel, I'm going to send you a website. Would you please put it on the 18 line, the big line, please, if you would. Toda, aquí. Matthew chapter 13. This Bible. Toda aquí, toda. Matit Yahu chapter 13. And we're going to start off at verse 3. And we're going to go verses 3 through 9. All right? And it reads, "And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow." And again, this is something that we've been over many times before, but was told to us. Repetition, y'all. Repetition. It says, "Behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed," verse 4, "and when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places, where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But others fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear." All right? So again, this is a parable that we are very familiar with. We're going to get the explanation a little bit later. Let's go to 1 Kings, right? 1 Kings chapter 19, verses 19 and 20, right? 1 Kings, or Malek Aleph, chapter 19, verse 19 and 20. All right. And it reads, "So he departed thence and fell Elisha," or Elishua, "the son of Shaphat, plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him, and he with the 12th. And Elijah, passed by him and cast his mantle upon him. And he left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, Let me, I pray thee, kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow thee. And he said unto him, Go back again, for what have I done to thee? So, we get, first of all, a soul went forth to see. Remember this parable, right? Now, we have Elisha, or Elishua, plowing with oxen, right? In other words, he's preparing the land to receive seed. The prophet is, right? And he's plowing 12 oxen at a time, and he was with the 12. So that's a very large chunk of land that has to be prepared. But the 12 are plowing together, right? And he says he's driving. He's with the 12. So he's driving the 12, and everybody is plowing together, and they're uprooting and tearing up this land, right, to make it able to produce 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. So in other words, the land has to be prepared, right? Along comes Elisha and puts this mantle on him, acknowledging him as his successor, right? So in other words, in order for us to accomplish some things, our mind has to be right, because we understand what, you know, you just put the two parables together, right? Because we can kind of fast forward in the other parable because we know it. Not that we don't know this one, but in that parable, we know what those different lands, those different type of grounds point to, right? So with the oxen, they're driving and they're pulling, they're trying to break up that stony ground so the seed can get down and take root, right? They're trying to make sure none of it falls by the wayside. That's the purpose of the priest, to prepare the ground for the seed. The priest, the prophet, to prepare the ground for seed, right? And think about this. There's 12 oxen. That's a large amount of ground. So it's not just one type of seed that needs to be prepared. Whenever you're driving that, you know, most of the time when you have a big plot of land, you're not going to, you know, the words say, don't mix seed, right? You can't, don't mix the seeds together. But if you got a spot, you got a spot for corn, and then you have that planted. Then you have a spot for carrots. You have a spot for cabbage. You have a spot for whatever it is, right? Whatever it is you're planting, right? So let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, right? Verses 27 through 30. First Corinthians chapter 12, 27 through 30. And this reads, now you are the body of Messiah and members in particular. So the ground is tilled, right? And with the body, just think of the body as the different fruits or vegetables as being planted, whatever's being planted. So the corn is in particular of itself. The carrots are in particular of itself. The radishes, et cetera, et cetera. But it's one field that all this is being planted on. Right? It's one field being sectioned off. So he says, you are the body of Messiah and members in particular. So day well is part of the body, but I'm day well. A hobbell is a hobbell, and et cetera, et cetera. But we all make up the body of Messiah. Verse 28, he says, And Elohim has set some in the church or assembly first, apostles, secondarily, prophets, thirdly, teachers, after that, miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, governments, diversities of tongues, right? Are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, are all workers of miracles. So each, the field has to be till for that. So you get this working of the field going on for you in particular. So you can produce 30 times the miracles, 30 times the help, 30 times the teaching, 30 times the whatever it is that he has for you in particular. Some people might have two or three of these skills. Some people might have all those skills, but he deals with us on an individual basis. And we have to be prepared on an individual basis. So a lot of times, it's not that there are things that I struggle with, right? Another brother might not struggle with it. There's things that another brother might struggle with that I might not struggle with. Right? But either way, you know, that gift is his gift. You know, a lot of times a big problem is that we try to compare ourselves with others. Abba might not have that for you. That might not be what he's trying to produce in you. So stop. Don't look at others. Look at what Abba is trying to produce in you. You know, and don't say that he's not producing nothing in me. I'm just this, I'm just that. Hold up. Wait a minute. He just went through a whole list of stuff. Verse 28 again, he says, and Elohim has set some in the church, first apostles, secondly prophets, third teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, governments, diversities. You mean to tell me you don't fall into none of them? No. You're not seeing what Abba is doing within your life. Maybe you need to refocus on your field. Refocus on how Abba is using you. Because like the brother said, Abba is building a kingdom. Within Israel, he had kings all the way down to people who drew water and cut wood. And each of them was vital for them for the kingdom to function properly. Look at Baltimore City when they took away just the trash men. They went from two pickups to one pickup. They went from two pickups a week to one pickup a week to now I think it's like one pickup every month now, it seemed like. Look at the increase in rodents. It then got so bad that they spotted foxes in the city. Why? Foxes eat rats. And it's an abundance of them. I didn't see a raccoon on my block. They down in the sewer. He hopped his little behinds right across the street, went right down to the sewer. Why? Because of the rodent infestation. Look at all the businesses that shut down because of rodent infestations. Why? Because somebody decided that it was not useful for trash to be picked up as much. So it's not that there's your eye cannot say to the foot, I don't need you. Your arm can't say to the leg, I don't need you. Everybody functions is needed for this thing to function properly. But you have to function in your capacity. In order for you to function in your capacity, you have to know how Abba and pay attention to how Abba is using you. Learn to forgive yourself. All right? Learn to forgive yourself for bad decisions, for mistakes, for whatever it is that you have wrong or how you wrong. See, I would say that he takes all those things and throws them in the sea of forgetfulness. I'm going to take all those things that you didn't do. I take them, I throw them in the sea of forgetfulness. But we the ones that keep on bringing that stuff up. He said, I forgive you, but we didn't forgive ourselves. So we bring these things back up, right? We the one keep on, and I kind of jumped a little bit, but we the ones that bring this stuff back up. And then the enemy invades, right? Because that's an easy way to get in. Right? Let's look at the book of Numbers, chapter 20, verses 27-29. That's another way that enemy gets in, that your mind has to be prepared. Numbers or Bamidbar, right? Verses 27, starting at verse 27. Chapter 20, starting at verse 27. And it reads, and Moshe did as Yahweh commanded, and they went up into the Mount Hor, in the sight of all the congregation. And Moshe stripped Aaron of his garments and put them upon Eleazar, his son. And Aaron died there in the top of the mountain. And Moshe and Eleazar came down from the mountain. When all the congregation saw that Aaron was dead, they mourned for Aaron 30 days. Even all the house of Israel. So, if y'all remember, this is when, this is the death of Aaron, and he was already told he wasn't going to the promised land. Wasn't nobody from the old generation making it to the promised land. Abba said that, except for Joshua or Yahushua, the son of Nun, and Caleb. He said because they had different spirits the spirit on them was different. On these two men. Everybody else had to die off. So Aaron dies. But Moses is looking at his brother. It's time for him to go. Eleazar is looking at his father. It's time for him to go. And they had to mourn Aaron for 30 days. Right? Don't go back to what happened in Meribah and say, well, if this would have happened, if he wouldn't have did this. Uh-uh. Replaying it on your mind is a way for the enemy to get in. All right? Replaying it in your mind is a way for the enemy to get in. And he can't. That's a weak point. Hold on for 1 second, family. I'm back, fam. Again, replaying in your mind is a way for the enemy to get in. And we don't want him to get in. Because once he gets in, he does so much damage so quickly. Right? He does so much damage to us so quickly. Next, Devarim, right? Verses 7 and 8. Devarim, chapter 34, or Deuteronomy, chapter 34, verses 7 and 8. And this reads, and Moshe was 120 years old when he died. His eyes was not dim, nor his natural force abated. And the children of Israel wept for Moshe in the plains of Moab 30 days, so that the days of weeping and mourning for Moshe were ended. So again, you have this time Moshe dying. And when he died, it's the same thing with all of what happened with Aaron. All of Israel mourned the death of Moshe. Right? He said they mourned for them 30 days. How Abba led me is, you know, death is probably the most traumatic thing that we go through, right, in this life. The loss of something is probably the most traumatic, or the loss of someone is the most traumatic thing that we can go through. But Abba said, mourn for him 30 days. Now, why 30 days, right? The number 30 is in correspondence with the lamed, right, which is the staff, which represents authority, right? So what is being challenged in that time? Right, because these are your thoughts. This trauma, whether we don't know it at the time because we're grief-stricken. And it feels like the whole world then collapsed on us. Right? We're grief-stricken over this. But right now, Satan is challenging our authority. The enemy is challenging our authority in these times. So Abba say grieve. Come to, and when he say grieve, what do he mean by that? Talk to me. Talk to me about this grief. Pour these emotions. Pour these things out on me. Let me handle this burden for you. Let me strengthen you, son, daughter. Let me show you how to get through this. Because so many times when we are traumatized and when we go through these things, we revert back to the way of unrighteousness. We revert back to it. We remember these things, and Satan loves that. That's his playground. That's his candy shop. That's where he thrives at. All right? But I would say, no, mourn for those 30 days. Talk to me about it. Get it out. Right? If you drop the zero off the 30, you got the number 3, which is the gimel, which is your walk. That also is being challenged. How many people, when tragedy hits, when trauma hits, walk away from the Most High? I have a friend of mine who said, you know, she used to get all upset at me anytime I brought the Bible up. But when she finally admitted to me, she said, I'm not mad about the Bible or anything like that. I'm not mad at you or your beliefs or whatever. But I watched my grandmother go through this with that Bible, and they did this, and nothing happened. So she's angry about something that happened, and it caused her to walk away from the Most High. And that's a common thing. That's not a uncommon thing. People walk away the Most High, walk away from the Most High when you traumatize. But Abba wants you to walk towards Him. Get closer to Him. And it is easier said than done. I'm not trying to say, that's all you got to do. No. Mm-mm. But again, you got to be prepared for it. He has to prepare your mind for it. He has to break that stony ground up. He has to dig deep and uproot those things that's within you in order for you to do that. The carnal mind is the enemy. The carnal mind hates Yah, hates the Most High, is the enemy of the Most High in our natural state. And when we go through trauma, that's what we revert to. We revert to what we know. All right? So forgive yourself. Forgive others. Don't allow the enemy in. All right? So let's go back to the book of Matthew, chapter 13, and we're going to continue. Matthew chapter 13, and we're going to pick up at verse 10. And it reads, and the disciples came and said unto him, why speakest thou unto them in parables? He answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. Again, something we already talked about, we know. See, you're prepared. They ain't. Mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. For whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away, even that he hath. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. They ain't been prepared for this. You are being prepared for this. So you can disclose this, so the things that I tell you in secret, you shout it on the rooftop. Because you know the secrets of the kingdom. You get it. You can just substitute the word mysteries for secrets. Verse 14, it says, and in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing you shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing you shall see and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is wax gross, and their ears are dull of hearing. Y'all hear that, y'all, right? And their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes, they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their heart and should be converted, and I should heal them. They can get a healing, but they don't want to hear. They close their eyes. They don't want to understand. But you have this desire, so I'm going to work this land for you. So when that seed drops, because that's what our Father is, our Father just throws seed everywhere. And when it drops, boom, I want it to grow. I want it to bring forth this 30, 60, 100. I want my crops. I want production. I want a product that is worthy of me. Right? Verse 16, it says, but blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you, that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which you see, and have not seen them, and to hear those things which you hear, and have not heard them. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. So after he gave them all that praise and everything, and now he's going to answer that question. He told me exactly why I don't talk. I talk to these folks in parables and this, that, and another. But watch the progression, y'all, how Yahushua does this, right? He says, hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receiveth seed by the wayside. But he that received the seed onto stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon, or straightway, with joy receive it. Yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, by and by he is offended. He also that received among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. But he that receiveth seed into the good ground, is he that heareth the word and understand it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some 100, some 60, and some 30. So now you got the explanation of the different grounds, right? Right after that, he goes back into a parable. Listen to the parable, y'all. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, The kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which soweth good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the blade was and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, Sir, didst thou not sow good seed in thy field, from which then have it tares? He said unto them, An enemy had done this. The servant said unto him, Wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? But he said, Nay, lest while you gather up the tares, you root up also the wheat with them. Let them both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, Gather ye together first the tares, and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. So, right after he gives this parable about the sower going sowing forth the seed, he talks about another sower going behind him, sowing tares on top of the same field where the wheat is. But do you remember what he said in that first one? He said that good seed hears the word, accepts it, and understands it. So in order for you to get it, he has to plow the ground, work the field so it can take root and it can bear. In other words, our discernment has to be exercised. In other words, we're going to have to go through some stuff. We're going to have to go through some traumas. We're going to have to go through some problems. We're going to have to go through these things in order for Abba to uproot and rip open this ground so he can make good ground out of us. Because he don't want stony ground. He don't want those who, when tribulation comes, is offended over the word because they don't have no root in their self. They don't understand who they are. That's what you say, that those who don't have root in their self, you're not stable. You shaky within yourself. So when the word comes, now you offended. Me and my brother was just talking about that. Some people make excuses because they don't want to do this way, like the words say. They don't want to do it no way. They just need an excuse to leave. So because you have no root within yourself, when that word come and you get offended over the word, and you say, oh, well, you know, the word says this, and I'm going to say, I got to go. You wanted to go anyway. He calls you that stony ground. Or when the word comes, all of a sudden, here come the cares of the world. Yeah. I remember I was working at the supermarket as a cook, and I had to make this swai, which is a catfish, the form of a catfish. And it was a woman who always, she say she ate clean and this, that, and another. And every Friday, she would come in. And she was a Sabbath observer, right? And she did the dietary laws and all that stuff, right? But every Friday, she would come in and eat that swat, get that swat. And I said, you're not supposed to be eating. If you observe the dietary laws, you know, you're not supposed to eat swine. You don't supposed to eat that. That's not, that's an unclean food. She said, well, it's not the Sabbath, so I can eat it. Like, the only time you observe those laws is on the Sabbath. Right? So you kill Sunday from sunset Saturday all the way up to sunset Friday, you can kill. But in that 24-hour period of Sabbath, there's no killing. You don't kill nobody. You know, that's the thinking of people. When they say these things, it's like, come on now, you can't really believe that. But she really believed that because she valued her taste buds over the word of Yahweh. The cares of the world. Right? But he don't want that from us. So he works hard to till that land and have you ready. So right after that, he goes into another parable. And it says, okay, verse 31, it says, another parable put he forth unto them, saying, I hope y'all following. It says, put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all seeds, but when it is grown, it is the greatest among herbs and become a tree, so that the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches thereof. All right. Now, Harbell sent out a website, right, which is from NoreaHealth.org, and it's the benefits of mustard seed, right? So we're going to look at some of the benefits of mustard seed. If everybody would go to that website, please. I'm pulling it up myself. All right. And this is their homepage. It's from Health Nuggets. All right. It says, mustard seeds, Brassica napus, also famous as rye or Sarsan kbij in India. All parts of the mustard plant, the leaves, the flower, and seeds, are edible. It's talking about the plant itself, and are edible and possess numerous essential nutrients. These seeds are globally the third most common source of vegetable oil after soybean and palm oil. There are numerous varieties of mustard seeds, but three are the most suitable for culinary use: brown, black, and yellow. We can find a black variety of mustard seeds as a common spice ingredient in various Indian cuisines. The yellow and brown variants come in use for making sauces, spreads, and condiments. Mustard seeds have a sharp and slightly bitter flavor with rich aroma. Before adding to any dish, mustard seeds are stir-fried with other aromatic ingredients, commonly known as takhtar in India. Regardless of their culinary uses, mustard seeds have numerous medicinal properties. Now, health benefits. These tiny seeds are rich in numerous essential minerals, which have the following health benefits. Each part of the mustard plant, and it's talking about the whole plant. Each part of the mustard plant is rich in various nutrients, but the mustard leaves and seeds contain copious amounts of vitamin A, C, and K, which are crucial for fighting chronic diseases, better vision, and eye health, and blood clotting mechanisms. Mustard seeds are rich in fibers, selenium, magnesium, manganese and magnesium, which boosts our immunity, maintain bodily mechanisms, and are crucial for bone health. Mustard seeds contain numerous glucosinate derivative antioxidants. In other words, it keeps that blood sugar down. Glucosinates derived antioxidants, including isothiocyanates and fenugreek. Apart from these, mustard seeds are also rich in isohornitin, cane foliar, and carotenoids. All these are antioxidants. All these antioxidants help protect our body against oxidative damage, several infections, and chronic disease. They also possess antibacterial, antifungal, anti-inflammatory, and anti-cancer properties. Regular consumption of a mustard seed-rich diet reduces inflammation and activates the healing process in psoriasis-caused lesions and contact dermatitis. And all is good for your skin, too. Mustard seed extract benefits people with diabetes by lowering blood sugar levels. Generally, mustard seeds are safe for eating, but some people encounter problems when consuming a large amount or applying their paste directly to the skin. Mustard seeds are a familiar condiment spice in our kitchen that enhance the flavor and aroma of the dishes with numerous health benefits. And that's just some of the benefits of mustard seeds. But he's comparing our faith to that. In one parable, he compares our faith to that. But in this particular parable, he's comparing the kingdom of heaven to that, right? He said the kingdom of heaven is like a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all seeds, but when it is grown, it is the greatest among herbs and becometh a tree, so that the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches thereof. It's not a coincidence that he's talking about breaking up these fields so these plants can produce. Okay, one of the plants that I'm producing is a mustard seed. We just read how the whole plant is edible. The whole plant is edible. The leaves, the seeds, all that edible. The birds of the air, the fowls of the air make a home within it because it can grow. How do it grow? Because the ground is good and now it can produce. It can produce so much that seed now becomes a tree. And this tree can support the birds of the air. Then he goes into another parable, right? He says, another parable spake he unto them. And follow the progression, y'all, please. He says, another parable spake he unto them. The kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal until the whole was leavened. So, the kingdom of heaven, he has some leaven, and he has it in this meal, in this part of the meal. He has it in this part of the meal. He has it in this part of the meal. And he put it in 3 sections of the meal. But he's waiting. He's not going to bake off one. He's not. I got to wait till all of it leavens. I'm putting it inside the meal, but I'm waiting for all of it to leaven, to come, all of it to come to fruition. all of it. Some of it might have been a bigger lump than the others. But we know it ain't getting used till all three come to fruition, come to where it's supposed to be. So it might take some, it might take one a little bit further to leaven. He has to leaven, he has to sit a little bit more. Depending on the temperature, it might take a little bit longer to rise. Some might rise a little quicker. Some might rise a little slower. But they all don't, it's not getting used until all of it is leavened. He said, till the whole is leavened. So don't look at everybody else's sphere. Look at what Abba is doing with you. Concentrate on what Abba is doing with you. Make that your focus. Abba is moving me and using me in this way. And if you don't know your purpose, ask him. You feel as though you don't know your purpose, you feel as though you lost, ask him. Talk to Abba. He ain't got no problem answering you. What did he tell Elijah? Oh, Abba, I'm the last one. I did this for your name and just like that, and I'm the last one. No, you're not. Got 7,000, ain't bow down. No, don't even trip. Abba don't have a problem answering. Verse 34. It says, all these things speak Yahushua unto the multitude in the multitude in parables, and without a parable speak he not unto them, that it might be fulfilled with which by the prophet. That it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things which have been kept secret from the foundation of the world. Then Yahushua said, sent the multitude away and went into the house, and his disciples came to him, saying, declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field. He answered and said unto them, he that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that soweth them is that the harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. As there are the tares, as therefore the tares are gathered and burnt in the fire, so shall it be in the end of this world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a treasure hid in the field, in which when a man hath found, he findeth, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchantman seeking goodly pearls, who, when he hath found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a net that was cast into the sea and gathered of every kind, cast to the sea and gathered of every kind, which when it was full, they drew to the shore and sat down and gathered the good into the vessels that cast the bad away. So shall it be at the end of the world. The angels shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Yahushua said unto them, have you understood all these things? They say unto him, yes, Master. We're going to end it right there. So, family, pay attention to what Abba is doing with you. Like he said, the harvest is plenty. The field is big. The harvest is plenty. The workers are few. Why? Because people are not hearing. People are not understanding. Their ears are dull of hearing. They didn't close their eyes. But we can't be those people. Abba has a job for us to do that we must do. He wants everybody to go all in. If you're on his team, go all in. He says, sell everything you got, buy this field. In other words, let Yahweh be true and every man a liar. You want this kingdom of heaven? No problem. It's here for you. Just give up all that foolishness and come to the truth. All right? I pray that everybody, if you don't know your purpose, ask Abba your purpose. If you have any doubts, pray that Abba reassures you. I pray that Abba lets you know exactly what he wants from you. All right? So we're going to end it here. As always, if you have any questions or comments about anything, you put them on the line. And we will anytime, whenever, and we will get to y'all. All right? If we don't know, and oh, let me apologize also for my brothers, because, again, we were wrong. We were wrong about this day. But, again, told Abba for your mercy. Told Abba for your correction. Be with us. Continue to be merciful with us, Abba. We're human. We mess up sometimes. Sometimes we lose track of things. We are fallible. You are not. And that's why you put those clocks up there for us to watch. All right? But any questions or comments about anything, you know, y'all can put them on the line. Call me whenever. And then we're going to end it here. All right? Blessed are you, Yahushua, King of the universe, Rock of all eternities, righteous in all generations, the trustworthy mighty one, who says and does, who speaks and fulfills, all whose words are true and righteous. Trustworthy are you, Yahushua, our mighty one, and trustworthy are your words. Not one of your words is turned back to its origin, for you are mighty one, trustworthy and compassionate king. Blessed are you, Yahushua, the mighty one, who is trustworthy in all his words. Amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Abba Yah, in the name of thy Son, Yahushua HaMashiach, our Savior, our Redeemer, soon-coming King. We thank you once again for the Shabbat day. We thank you for allowing us the breath of life. We thank you for healing us out mentally, physically, spiritually, emotionally. I ask that you continue to keep your hands upon us, and keep your hedge around us. We thank you for sharing your word with us, and we thank you for leading and guiding us and strengthening us throughout the week. Father, we pray that you continue to chastise us lovingly, mercifully, when we go to the right or to the left, just to bring us back to your path, Father. We ask, Father, that you continue to give us your word, unlock your word to us, allow us to get a little closer to you, Abba, little by little, and that you grow us in the way that you want us to be, your sons, your daughters, in particular, Abba. As my brother always requests the same, have your own way. Have your way with us, Abba. You know what you want from each and every last one of your sons and daughters. We just ask that we be willing participants and that you strengthen us when we need strengthening. You uphold us with your right hand, Abba, when we need it. Abba, we ask that you continue to unify us, continue to teach us how to love, continue to bring us together, continue to show us how to be like you and your Son are. In Yahushua's name, we give you praise, glory, and honor. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. Shabbat shalom, family. See you a little later.
Gadol Yahweh, U meholal meod, Vair Eloheinu, Har Kadasho, Yife Nof, Meshoshal Haaretz, Hatzion Yakerti, Safon Kiryat Melech Rav, Elohim Be'ar Menoteha, Noda Le Mishkav. Lead.